Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
At this special chapel service honoring men and women who have served and are serving in the United States Armed Forces, we're pleased to have Lieutenant Commander Michael E. Foskett as our chapel speaker today. Lieutenant Commander Foskett has been a chaplain in the 3rd Amphibious Assault Battalion in the U.S. Navy at Camp Pendleton in California since May of this year. Chaplain Foskett had missionary parents and spent most of his childhood and youth in Madrid, Spain, and Manila, the Philippines. He enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserve after his first year in college, and during his first year at Dallas Theological Seminary, he entered the chaplain candidate program and later earned a THM in 2001. He has been deployed for military service in Okinawa, Japan, and Iraq for Operation Iraqi Freedom II. Chaplain Foskett and his wife, Andrea, who is here and we want to welcome as well, reside in Oceanside, California. Chaplain, we want to thank you and all those who are with you here today for your military service to our country, and we want to welcome you to our chapel service today. Michael Foskett.
Well, thank you. 236 years ago today, United States Congress authorized the formation of a small military force to guard its ships going to sea. We know that military force today is the United States Marine Corps. So all of you that have served or are currently serving as Marines, happy birthday to you. And you know what they say about Marines, right? Well, this is what Dr. Hanna said about Marines when I was here. Gomer Pyle was a Marine. Yeah. This is what First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt said. The Marines I have seen around the world have the cleanest bodies, the filthiest minds, the highest morale, and the lowest morals of any group of animals that I've ever seen. Thank God for the United States Marine Corps. It's no wonder the Congress authorized the formation of the Navy Chaplain Corps, who attends to the Marines 18 days later, right, to lead these Marines to God. And that's not far from the truth, having served with Marines. They're a handful. They're great, though. When I was asked to speak this past summer, I was asked whether I wanted to speak in chapel about military chaplaincy, I said, sure, I'd love to. And about 2 weeks later, I thought, what am I going to say about military chaplaincy? Because I know most of you, although I'd like for all of you to go into become military chaplains, most of you will not. So I pulled my pastor, Larry, aside and said, Larry, if you were sitting in chapel this morning, November 10th at DTS, what was it would you want to hear? After all, he's doing what most of you will be doing, pastoring at a local church. And he said to me, two things, share with me or share with them what it's like to do ministry in your shoes by describing the common challenges of today's military. And secondly, how can I specifically serve those who serve? So this is what I'd like to do this morning. I'd like to give you six snapshots of the challenges that servicemen and women face in today's military. And then I'd like to tell you why you and your future congregation, or if you're pastoring now, your congregation, are indispensable in meeting and overcoming those challenges because you have a unique role to play. And then I'd like to close with two principles on how you can best serve those that serve. I think it's important for you to know this because more than likely, all of you or most of you will have active duty, reserve, recently discharged, or retired servicemen and women in your congregation. This is probably true for my international brothers and sisters too. I've worked with Indonesian, South Korean, Filipino, Jordanian, Maldivian, Iraqi, Kuwaiti, and Japanese servicemen and women who have many of the same issues that our military men and women in the United States face. So let me start with my 6 snapshots that capture the common challenges in today's military. These are real stories with the names changed. Snapshot number 1. Staff Sergeant Hayes, a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. After combat tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, Staff Sergeant Hayes suffers from the invisible wounds of post-traumatic stress disorder that he can only escape temporarily through alcohol abuse. He's torn between wanting to take a break from all his combat deployments and wanting to go back into harm's way in order to protect his brother and sister to his left and his right and to do his duty. He feels spiritually dirty from what he has seen and what he has done, doesn't know whether God still loves him or can forgive him. He harbors negative emotions like general distrust towards Middle Eastern men because in combat he couldn't tell friend from foe. After all, the enemy doesn't wear a uniform. Snapshot number 2. Corporal Jared Kane and his wife Mary Jane, who are struggling against the odds to make their marriage work. Jared and Mary Jane were high school sweethearts. Jared, being a good Southern boy, decided to join the service, and off he went to boot camp. And after completing boot camp and arriving at his first duty station, Jared and Mary Jane decided it was too hard to live so far apart and see each other so little. So 1 year out of high school, Jared and Mary Jane get married, and Mary Jane uproots from all that she knows, her support system, her hometown, to move into a tiny apartment off base. Marriage is not the unending bliss that they thought it would be. After all, Jared's rarely home. Either he's working late, out in the field on maneuvers, or deployed overseas. And when he's home, all he wants to do is play video games and watch TV because he's too tired from work. Mary Jane can't find a job because the economy's so bad, and she can't get into school because she doesn't have state residency. So she sits on her thrift store couch in her tiny apartment watching TV and updating her Facebook page, feeling very alone, wondering if she'd made a mistake to get married and wanting desperately to go move back home. Snapshot number 3. First Lieutenant Jamal Jones and his wife, Lysandra, trying to put their lives back together after an improvised explosive device took Jamal's leg and traumatized his brain. Jamal was a natural leader who people naturally gravitated to. He's smart, hardworking, physically tough, starting defensive end for his college football team. So the military, or leading in the military, was a natural fit for him. He thrived on leading his men in combat and overcoming any challenge. Until that one patrol in Afghanistan changed everything. An ID, improvised explosive device, killed 2 of his men and almost took his life. Losing his leg is a huge blow to his self-image. After all, he was invincible, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Now it's difficult for him to do even the simplest of tasks. What's even worse is the mental fog, the moodiness, the depression, the inability to remember caused by a traumatic brain injury. Lysandra is grateful to have her husband home alive, but is having a hard time adjusting to the changes in her husband. She's had to quit her job as a teacher because Jamal needs her to run him back and forth from his many medical appointments, so money's pretty tight. Both of them wonder if their life and their marriage is ever going to get back to the way that it was, or if this is as good as it's going to get. Snapshot number 4, sailor Maria Sanchez, struggling to fit in while not compromising on her Christian beliefs. Back at home, Maria had plenty of Christian friends from her youth group to hang out with and keep her accountable. Since she's joined the Navy, she lives in a small compartment on the ship called a berthing area where she has little to no privacy. And if you've ever been on a ship, you know that to be true. She's surrounded by non-Christian shipmates who openly celebrate their pagan lifestyles, what they did with their boyfriend last night, or how much drinking they did at that club this past weekend. And she's torn between wanting to fit in and to make friends with her shipmates, at the same time keeping herself from putting herself in a compromising situation. And she can't find a church home in walking distance from the ship, so she sits in her berthing area on Sunday mornings. Snapshot number 5. Chief Petty Officer Benito Aquino, emotionally and physically exhausted from operational stress. Benito is the third generation of Filipino Americans to proudly serve in the Navy, and he's living the American dream. Recently, he became a chief petty officer. He owns a big house in Southern California. He's happily married to his sweetheart of 14 years, Ludi, and they have two beautiful daughters together. But the operational tempo since September 11th has been grueling. In the last 10 years, he's deployed 4 times for 7 months at a time, and that doesn't count all of the time he's out at sea working up for deployment. And Benito can't seem to shake his physical fatigue, no matter how much sleep he gets, and he doesn't understand why he gets angry so quickly at his girls. After all, they're just being girls. And he can't seem to close the emotional distance between him and his wife, Ludi, because he's never home long enough to really reconnect with her. He senses a growing resentment in his wife against the Navy for asking so much of Benito and basically making her a single parent most of the time. Snapshot number 6. Chaplain Seong Kim serving with an infantry battalion in Afghanistan. Ministry to his men has never been better. He's warmly greeted every time he shows up to their forward operating bases. And his services are well attended, since combat has focused his men on eternal matters. But the combat deaths and injuries has taken a deep emotional toll on him and his men. So his men turn to him for comfort, but he really doesn't have anybody to turn to except for the occasional meeting with his senior chaplain when they cross paths, or the occasional phone call he can make to his wife on a satellite phone. Life in a combat zone is both repetitive and exhausting, since there's no such thing as a day off. He's constantly moving from forward operating base to forward operating base, hoping not to get hit by an IED or an ambush. He's constantly counseling, visiting, and leading services for his men. He sleeps when he can, but he doesn't really sleep well. And the question that's always in the back of his mind is, which one of my men is the next to get hit? Now that you understand some of the common challenges that today's servicemen and women face, let me explain to you why you and your future congregation, in other words, the local church, has an indispensable role to play in helping them overcome these challenges. Some of you may hesitate to even get involved with veterans or the military because you feel inadequately prepared to help them. After all, you know, you don't know the first thing about post-traumatic stress disorder or combat operational stress, and you haven't served in the military. You're like, I have nothing to offer these men and women. Well, understand that you will not be the only resource helping them. There is a wide spectrum of trained specialists and programs geared to help servicemen and women through the military and through the Veterans Administration. But most of these resources do not and really cannot provide what is indispensable for their recovery, and that is spiritual strength and renewal through strong biblical teaching within the context of a supportive spiritual family. Let me say that again. This is what the local church provides that nobody else provides, and that is strong spiritual strength and renewal through strong biblical teaching within the context of a supportive spiritual family. Now, you may ask yourself, why isn't the chaplain supposed to provide that? Well, the shorter answer to that is yes. But chaplains cannot be the only source of spiritual strength renewal for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's one chaplain assigned for about 1,000 servicemen and women. So that doesn't include their family members. And as far as my battalion right now, I have probably a third of them are married. So you think the number of spiritual needs probably is about 1,700, and one chaplain cannot meet that. Secondly, most base chaplains do not have the staff to provide all the programs that families need. And thirdly, the reality is not every chaplain is a Christian chaplain. Let me give you two examples how you and your congregation play an indispensable part in helping servicemen and women overcome their challenges. Remember that snapshot, the first snapshot I gave you of Staff Sergeant Hayes, the combat veteran? He's going to get excellent medical care from trained specialists, but these specialists are not equipped to help him work through his spiritual issues. You are. Your congregation is. You can take Staff Sergeant Hayes to passages like 1 John 1:9 and help him to see that spiritual cleansing is just a confession away. No matter what he has seen, no matter what he has done. You can take him to Psalms like Psalm 109, where David vents unedited his negative emotions to God, to give him license to vent his negative emotions to God unedited. And you and your congregation can help heal his invisible wounds of post-traumatic stress disorder through loving him unconditionally. And this is so understated, brothers and sisters. Unconditional love and acceptance is so needed by these veterans coming back who don't know who they are anymore and don't know if anybody's going to love them again. Remember the snapshot of Corporal Jared Kane and his young wife, Mary Jane, trying to make their marriage work? Marriage counselors assigned to the base can help them to learn how to communicate better and understand each other better, but they can't help them overcome what is at the root of their marital problems. You and your congregation can. You can introduce this young couple to the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, which can transform them from inherently selfish, depraved individuals, because that's what's always at the root of the problem, isn't it? To being the godly husband and wife that God has called them to be. You can help them clear up their cultural confusion about gender roles by taking them to Ephesians 5 and say, this is what God expects out of you. You can introduce them to a mature couple within your congregation that can mentor them and give them the marital training that they never received before they got married. These are only two of many examples that I could give you to show you how indispensable you and your congregations are and helping servicemen and women and their families overcome their challenges. Now that you better understand some of the common challenges that military men and women face, and how indispensable you and your congregation are for helping them overcome those challenges, let me close with two principles to guide you as you seek to serve those who serve. Here's the first principle. Approach the military with a missionary mindset. Approach the military with a missionary mindset. You may be saying, I'm not saying that you need to make plans to move overseas or start raising support, but apply yourself to learning the language and the culture of the military just like a missionary would apply themselves to learning the language of the culture that God is sending them to. Well, you're saying, well, they're Americans, right? They speak English. Okay, well, let me just give you an example of how unique the culture is. This is an email that a very routine email that I would get as a military chaplain. WRT, First Lieutenant Jamal Jones, the PCR is being read from theater to parent command in CONUS. SMM suffered a TBI, an open fracture to the left leg when his MATV was hit by a daisy chain IED. SMM, medevac via CH-53 to Bagram Air Force Base, ITR, Ramstein Air Force Base. Okay. The military has its own unique language and culture. It means a great deal to us when you and your congregation take the time to learn it. And once you've learned it, season your sermons with military illustrations and military terms. Acknowledge important military events, like today being the Marine Corps birthday. Every Marine around the world knows what this day is. Every Marine around the world is celebrating this day. In short, approach the military with a missionary mindset. Here's my last principle gear your ministry to the military to be a long-term commitment, not a one-time splash-and-dash event. Many well-meaning Americans want to do something to support men and women in uniform, so they put together one-time events to show their appreciation. I speak for the majority of servicemen and women when I say that we are grateful for everything that Americans do for us. We do feel the appreciation of a grateful nation. But what is most needed is not another one-time splash-and-dash event, but a long-term commitment where you and your congregation follow the Galatians 6:2 principle of bearing each other's burdens by helping us with the burdens that we bear. Servicemen and women are not looking for your pity. We signed up for this. We're proud to serve. We could just use some help sometimes in bearing the burdens. Let me give you a few practical examples how you and your congregation can do this. Remember the snapshot of Chief Warrant Officer Benito Aquino and his wife Ludi constantly trying to reconnect and out at sea? You can help them bear their burden by pulling alongside of them and assisting Ludi in practical ways by having the small group that she's involved with cut the lawn or babysitting or change a flat tire when Benito is out at sea. Remember my snapshot of sailor Maria Sanchez, who was on the ship and couldn't find a church? You can help her bear her burden of loneliness by arranging rides from her ship to your college group. Remember the snapshot of Chaplain Seong Kim, the combat chaplain. You can help him bear his burden by really asking him, how are you doing? And you being okay with the fact that he's not okay. When you see him at pastor's conferencing, pull him aside. How are you doing, Seong? How can I pray for you? And then following up. Author Randy Alcorn states, sometimes God wraps his arms around us in the form of another person. You can become a hug from God when you and your congregation make a long-term commitment to pull alongside members of the military and help them bear their burdens. Now, if you'd like more information about this, please get with me afterwards on how you and your local church can support military members. Please get with me afterwards. Or if you've got to run off and finish your exegetical assignment or whatever else that you're doing, sleeping in the library, yeah, studying. Yeah, I did all that when I was here. Just email me at Michael, michael.e.foskett, F-O-S-K-E-T-T, at usmc.mil. If you're interested in finding out more what it's like to be a chaplain, if you're interested in serving as a chaplain, please join me for a brown bag in Todd 114 following this service. Please join me as we close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the men and women in front of me who have dedicated their life to ministry. And I know how hard it is this time of the semester trying to get everything done. Father, I pray that they would continue to let this process work itself out, that they would learn to love you with not only their mind, but also their heart, and they would never lose that. Help them to finish strong. Empower them for their future ministries. Help them to make the most of the experience at this excellent, excellent school. Father, help us not to be just hearers, but also doers of your word. Whatever you have put on our hearts, help us to take that forward and to apply that. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.